1960s, perhaps more than any other decade, continues to hold a particular fascination for many of us. This is certainly true for Joshua First, who 31 years ago, when he was 16, actually stole a copy of Abbie Hoffman's Steal This Book from his library of his local community college. So in many ways, his new novel began at that moment. The new novel is Revolutionaries, where Josh leads us on a long, strange trip through the heart of the 60s and beyond, as seen through the eyes of the revolution's poster child, a man by the name of Lenny Snyder. The name of the book is Revolutionaries. It's a great pleasure to welcome novelist Joshua First to the roundtable this morning. Joshua, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Let us talk about what you wanted in this time period in which you write about the 1960s, the turbulence of what drew you to that time period and wanting to tell this particular story.
I was interested in differences between my generation, Gen X, and the generation that created such radical change that, you know, gave birth to us, and the ways in which the fire and life of that time seemed to turn into a kind of a cynical sense of powerlessness in my generation, a desire to not engage. And to me, the only way to arrive at that was by invoking that fire, so that a counterpoint could exist, sort of came there.
What was your personal interest in the idea of perhaps even an experience that brought you to the radical politics of the time?
Yeah, you know, I grew up in rural Wisconsin, small town Wisconsin, and some of my formative experiences had to do with engaging with leftist politics there in a very, you know, isolated place where leftist politics was, you know, there was a long legacy back to the early progressives, but in the 1980s, 1970s and 1980s, it was, you know, it was a pretty conservative place. And so when I was a teenager, I was out canvassing for Jesse Jackson, for instance, and engaged in sort of exploring the time period that had come before that seemed to, where things seemed to happen, you know, where a conversation about how to change America was actually occurring. And I was feeling relatively isolated in that endeavor. And then I went to my local community college bookstore and, or local community college library, I'm sorry. And there was this book called Steal This Book by Abbie Hoffman. So yeah. I went ahead and stole it. And that sort of changed my thinking about what was and wasn't possible in the world.
So what drew you to Abbie Hoffman? I mean, obviously a larger-than-life figure and one who is, I think, replicated in this novel, right? I mean, this seems to be who you're writing about.
It isn't. It's a lot of the actions that Lenny Snyder, my narrator, Freedom Snyder's father, takes throughout the book have a parallel in Abbie Hoffman's life, and a lot of the events of the 60s that I describe were instigated by Abbie Hoffman. And in the book, Lenny Snyder is instigating Abbie Hoffman's events, but in some key ways, he's a different person. He's got a different psychology, and he comes from a different part of the Northeast. He comes from Brooklyn instead of Massachusetts, which makes, I think, a kind of a difference. There are a number of things about Abbie himself that I was obsessed with, I think. The relationship between Abbie's mental illness and his actions, his politics, the energy he got from his manic phases, and the vision of what a society could be that seemed to rise from his own personal needs was compelling to me in ways that I hope I was able to capture.
You say that actually when it came to that the chapter in the book where Lenny gives Fred a tour of his old neighborhood, that you walked every street of Flatbush and Crown Heights and Brownsville. You wanted to figure that out.
Yeah, I spent a week walking every street, looking at every single house, figuring out when those houses were born or when those houses were built, where Lenny would have existed in relation to like the history. I was trying to project myself into the historical moment of Lenny's life. So I'd have to weed out the new construction in my imagination, and sort of look through the entire history of the transformations of those neighborhoods from the 1930s through the present, and see sort of the layers of history laying there underneath the contemporary existence.
Did you ever want to talk to the people who are actually a part of the movement or who were in some way related to it to get a on-the-ground feel?
You know, I actively tried to block that possibility off from my my process. There were a number of times when people offered to put me in touch with people connected to Abbie Hoffman, people connected to some of the other historical figures in the book, and every single time I was told that I could maybe talk to one of them, I declined because there were a few reasons. One was I had to allow this book to have its own integrity separate from the history, and I didn't want to be in a position where I couldn't change things as I needed to for the book. I didn't want to feel indebted to the actual history. I wanted to have a conversation with that history instead. And the more I might actually be talking to or engaging with the people who came from that time, the more I might feel indebted to them, and I needed to be protected from that on some level, I think.
The story is interwoven with the wives of real historical figures as well. They are used in fictional ways, but they are there. Let's just say one example, like Phil Oakes, who is just a major character in the novel.
Yeah, Phil Oakes. You know, I think there was a time when I imagined writing a whole book just about Phil Oakes. But it seemed to me, especially when I, was sort of looking at his role in relation to the Yippies, that showing him as a counterpoint to Lenny Snyder, would create a conversation about what happens to idealism, the various paths that idealists might take as they see the limits of what's possible. And Phil's story is particularly tragic in that context, because I believe that Phil is one of the very few who truly believed in those ideals and never wavered in that belief. And he paid a massive price for that.
Did you always know how you wanted to write it and how you wanted to tell the story? In the sense of it is written very much as an oral history. Was that something that was in your mind from the very beginning?
I knew it was a oral history. I knew that Fred was not someone who would write something down. And I knew that Fred had his own agendas. And some of those were conscious and some of those were subconscious. And for the story to work the way that I wanted it to work, I needed there to be an instability and a present tense acting out of the experience of going into his memories and his pains and his experiences toward a destination that he didn't know where he would arrive. I didn't quite know how to manage that process at the beginning. There were quite a few false starts and Fred's anger at his father from the very beginning made it difficult to enter the fullness of the story, because he was alienating me and presumably But after sitting with him for a while, I found that that process of him talking would allow him to arrive at the more sensitive and fragile, honest experience, emotions that he at first was resisting, and hopefully in the process of the book you feel that opening up of vulnerability as he goes along.
It seems, as a reader of the novel, it's almost impossible to shut out what is happening in our world today and what is and isn't happening now that was happening in the 60s. How did you feel about that in the writing? I mean, did you want to completely block that out, or did you want to incorporate that in some way?
Oh, it's of extreme importance to my conception. I think it's sort of part of why I felt an urgency to write this book was that he's talking from now. He's talking from looking at what's happening now, how what's happening now seems to be mimicking what was happening then, and how what's happening now differs from what was happening then, and the ways in which those ideals do and don't have a parallel in the fire and rage that's existing in America right now.
And you also come away with this idea of lessons that we could have learned, and lessons that maybe we learned, and lessons that we definitely didn't learn.
Yeah, hopefully, maybe. I tried to do that. I don't know if I have any answers to that question. I mean, you know, how can any one individual see through all the various contradictions and put all the pieces together? That's, you end up in conspiracy territory pretty quickly when you try to do that, I feel like.
Well, the name of the novel is Revolutionaries. It is published by Knopf. Josh, first, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
A great pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Again, the name of the new novel is Revolutionary by Joshua First. It is published by Knopf. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.